I will be reading Matthew chapter 22, verse 21. Then he said to them, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God."
Can you hear me now?
All right.
Let me see. If you're visiting with us, I see one visitor I didn't say hi to yet, but Tahira's mother, I think. I thought it was your sister when I saw her earlier. Good to have you with us. Any other visitors that I can't see from here, welcome. Glad to have you with us. Let me see who's here. Because I'm going to say something that somebody said and I don't want to embarrass them. Okay. I've been thinking all week of how to introduce this sermon. This morning I want to talk about our giving. And I'm not going to tell you that you need to give more so you can sit back and relax. I don't do that. I'm just going to follow what God's Word says about giving. But, you know, there's a day of the year. If I said April the 15th, what would you think? Tax day, right? Now, you're joyful about that tax day, aren't you, Arch? Aren't you just excited when tax day comes? Shouldn't we declare it a national holiday and just put stockings by the chimney with care in hopes that Uncle Sam would soon be there to give to Uncle Sam? We don't get all excited about that. If I say April 15th, you have a question in mind, and what is that question? How much do I owe, right? That would be the question. Well, not long ago, a member said to me something of this line, and I've heard this repeated time and time again. I'm not picking on anyone when I quote this, but I want to spell out something today, and I want to think about how we should view our giving to God. This person asked me, how much should I give to God? Should I tithe? That was the specific question. Should I be tithing? Or, you know, how much should I give? And you know, they didn't give me any time to answer that. They went on to answer it themselves. And I've heard this over and over and over and over again. So here was the thing. Well, you know, we just kind of give a token gift anyway, token payment anyway, you know, to pay for the light bill and the preacher. I'm not going to address that right now in my sermon, but I'll get there, okay? We want to talk about this because, folks, we want to understand what God expects from us in our giving, most specifically, because the things that we give unto God are very important. So having said that, let me jump in. Giving includes many things. This morning, all of us have been giving already. Did you know that? No, wait a minute. We have not passed the collection plate. Did you notice that? We haven't given, right? Wrong. We have given, have we? You give of your time to come to the building this morning for the worship of God. You got up early and combed your hair and did all this. You sacrificed time you could have been sleeping. Then the classroom instructor, I sat in Sam's class this morning. Sam had sacrificed some of his time to get ready for that class. And as we all sat there, we sacrificed our time to listen to the things that Sam had prepared. This morning, Sam said amen. I didn't mean it that way, brother. But. So there's been a lot of sacrificing. What other sacrificing have we done this morning? We sacrificed the fruit of our lips and our praise to God. We offered up sacrifices to God in our prayers, haven't we? Well, the sacrifices also include our giving, and we're going to get into that here in just a little bit. Well, I want to begin by asking you what giving is really about. And I ask people, and I've thought of this myself in my own heart in the past. That's why I'm addressing it in particular. I've thought in the past I'm supposed to give. That's why each week I sit down and open up my checkbook, you know, in the past, and I write out a check and give it to the church because I'm supposed to. So that I can, you know, help keep the lights on and the wonderful ceiling fan and pay the preacher. I bought into that myself when I was a kid. While these things happen as a result of giving, church, I want you to know something. God will keep the lights on if He wants them on, with or without your money.
Amen.
Is that true? We do not give to the Lord to keep the lights on. And we do not give to the Lord to pay the preacher. Blake kind of smiled a little bit. He knows that I'm hoping you will so we can pay the preacher. But that's a side note. We give because God wants us to realize our position before Him. As an acknowledgement of who He is and what He has blessed us with. That's why we give. We do not give for any of these other reasons. Boil down, this is not a collection, but it is an offering. We use the term collection. I use it inadvertently, and there's nothing wrong with the idea that we pass the plate or the basket and we collect things, and the terminology is not too important, but we need to understand in our minds that it is a sacrifice offered to God. And when we think about the fact that it's a sacrifice, we go back to the Old Testament, we look at sacrifices, and we gain some powerful understanding about what sacrifices are. In the Old Testament, we saw that sacrifices included grain offerings, oil and flour offerings as a peace offering. It was to establish peace between God and the worshiper. Then we saw animal sacrifices. Animal sacrifices included the burnt offering, which marked the worshiper's devotion before God. Then we saw the sin offering and the trespass offering in the sacrifice of an animal that was supposed to satisfy God's judgment against sin symbolically under the Old Testament. Then we see the memorial offering, the Passover, which today symbolizes what we did here in the Lord's Supper. These are sacrifices. And when we understand that our giving is a sacrifice, we also understand that it is an act of worship. Now, how many times do we flip our little check or our money into that plate, never having given it a thought? Have you been there? I'm confessing I've been there. But God tells us that's not where I want you. These sacrifices under the Old Testament were taken very seriously, under a commandment to be holy as I am holy. They were planned for. They just didn't swing by the temple on the way home and throw out some offering for the priest to take care of. Folks under the Old Testament, they prayed about their offering ahead of time.
Amen.
They planned for that offering ahead of time. If they were raising an animal for sacrifice, they had to go out and pick a firstborn, an unblemished animal, and they had to raise that from the flock and take care of it in order that it would be acceptable before God. So they had to think about it ahead of time They had to plan for it ahead of time, and they had to consider what God wanted before they ever got there. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. If I step on your toes, I'm stepping all over mine. Did you pray about the money that you have set aside this morning to put in the offering plate? Did you actively consider how much you're given this week? Did you reflect on that? Did you pray about it to God? Ask God if He was accepting that gift that you have prepared? And are you ready to give it this morning in that way? Now, I ask that knowing that not all of us did. I did because I knew I was preaching the sermon, right? But as this has been on my heart for quite a while now, I have been for a while, and God has been blessing my life because of it. Giving to God is a sacred privilege. Can I say that again? Giving to God is a sacred privilege. Something that we get to do, and it can change our life if we will embrace it before God. God gives us some instructions on giving. I'd like to share some of those with you this morning. First, God tells us that we're to give with a humble heart. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full." This sounding of the trumpet kind of is an interesting idea. As you go back in history and you read a little bit and you look at this Greek word, you understand that the coffers that they collected money in had a little rim around the outside edge, like a spittoon is what I vision in my mind, okay? You go by and, you know, you drop your money in there and you give to the Lord. But the man who is ostentatious, the man who is arrogant, proud, and boastful, stands back at a distance. And he flips his coin so it'll hit the backboard before it goes in and make that ringing noise so everybody will see what he's given. God says, don't you do that. Don't you do that, but you be humble with your giving. Not in arrogance, but do it in private. Not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And what you give in secret, God will bless. And 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, we see that we are to give on a regular basis. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections may be made when I come. Paul is telling the Corinthians, you lay by in store each first day of the week. So God tells us there's something regular about this giving. It needs to be on a regular basis. And you know what? Does God really need us to give our money? He can make it without our money, can he? There's an element here to where we get what we need when we're giving. And God wants us to see that and connect with that. And that needs to be on a regular basis. And also, we are to give liberally. Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4 says, "And he looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. And he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they all out of their surplus put in the offering, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on." Now, if you go back and you look at the money of the day, you understand the coinage and all that. But I think about two copper coins a day, and I think of two pennies. And you think, well, that, you know, that's not very much. But here, this woman that gave the two pennies, she outgave everybody. She outgave everybody because it wasn't the amount, but it was the substance of her heart that made the gift bigger. Right? God wants us to consider the substance of our heart. He wants us to give liberally. Here it said that she gave out of poverty, put in all that she had to live on. Now that brings a little bit of new light to it. How many of you this week, when you... Now don't raise your hand, please, because I learned this last time I was preaching. Don't ask a question if you don't want it answered, okay? But I want you to think about this. When's the last time we give up some of our child money for the Lord? Some of our money to pay the light bills at our houses. This woman, that's what she did. She gave up all that she gave up all that she had to live on. Now, if we did that, church, what would we have to embrace this morning? The idea of faith that God is going to take care of us, right? And you know what? Sometimes we're not real good at that, are we? Now, I'm pointing to me, too. God tells us to give liberally. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Now with that, let me read to you two epitaphs written on headstones around the world. The first is in a place called Warwickshire, England, near a little church, and there it reads as follows. "Here lies a miser who lived for himself and cared for nothing but gathering pelf." Pelf is money or riches, okay? "Now where he is or how he fares, nobody knows and nobody cares." That's supposedly written on a stone to mark someone's graveside. But in St. Paul's Cathedral in London, there's an epitaph written on a stone that reads this: "Sacred to the memory of Charles George Gordon," some fellow that I don't know, "who at all times and everywhere gave his strength to the weak, his substance to the poor, his sympathy for the suffering, and his heart to God." I haven't always been the best giver in this world. My giving is a personal thing between me and my Lord. And I can tell you, a number of years ago when Charity and I first got married, I was a poor giver. And as a result of that, I missed out on a whole lot of blessings from God. And I'm not necessarily talking about material blessings, but I'm talking about blessings that come in all shapes and sizes, different forms. But over the past few years, and I don't know how many years, I've taken on this idea of giving wholeheartedly to God and understanding that it's a sacrifice and something that I don't do out of have to, but something I do because I want to. And my life has been changed by a result of that. I remember when it was, I was in preaching school with Doug Hamilton. A lot of you know Doug. Doug is a giving machine. I don't know how. Praise the Lord for Doug's heart. Doug will go around and look for somebody that needs help, and he'll arrange somehow for them to get what they need. And he's always asking me, you want help with it? Well, yeah, I want to help with that. I learned something from that. Doug, by example, helped me to understand that I'm meant to give. God didn't create me to receive all the time. He created me to give. He created us to be a giving people. And when we're not giving, we miss out. I remember a man who was sitting here in this auditorium who paid to have my tooth fixed about 7 years ago because I couldn't afford it. He's a giving man. He understood that God wanted him to give. We all give in different ways. How do you give? What's your method of giving? God wants you to understand that and take it seriously. God tells us that He wants us to give with the right attitude. When some people give, you would think that, this is a quote from Shane Speck from about 7 years ago. I've loved it ever since I've heard it. When some people give, it looks like they're weaned on a pickle. You ever seen that? You know, when our kids were small, Taylor and Ryan and Colton, when they were little bitty, we'd give them a dollar, you know, to put in that collection plate. And buddy, when that collection plate come along, you need a pair of vice grips and a crowbar to get that thing out of their hand. You know, the kids are like, when kids are little bitty, they don't understand that. Well, you know, sometimes adults are like that. Look like they're weaned on a pickle. But God tells us through the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. A lot said in one verse here. Apostle Paul here says that each one is to do as he has purposed in his own heart. How many of us have purposed in our heart this morning? How many of you have prayed for and made preparation for the time when this basket comes around? If not, church, we need to be, because God wants that. He wants us to feel that way. He doesn't want us to give grudgingly with regret or sorrow. And He certainly does not want us to give under compulsion. He doesn't want us to sit here and think, hey, if we don't put money in the plate, we're not going to be able to afford the light bill. He doesn't want that to be on our mind. He doesn't want us to give under compulsion. But He wants us to give from the heart as an act of worship. We have a responsibility with what God gives us. You recall the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25? To each man was given a set of talents, and God, in the end, expected a return on those talents. With the things that God has given us, He expects a return on them. And He will hold us accountable. I just know God is going to discuss my giving with me someday in person when I see Him. And I want to do the right thing. All of this leads to a question that God asked that I just absolutely love. And I ask this to myself as I share it with you this morning. If you'd like to turn there, I'd encourage you to. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. God asked one of the most serious questions that I can think of when He says this. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. If there's anything in this world that I don't want to have a part of, I do not want to have a part of robbing God.
Amen.
And when you put it in this light, you understand that there is a part of what we have that is to be set aside and given to God. For everything that we have indeed belongs to God. And we fail to see that sometimes, don't we? God calls these folks on the carpet and says, you know what? You're robbing me. You're not giving to me what is due me. I think about Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. They sold a plot of land. And then they lied to cover up how much they were giving. And what happened as a result of that? They could have kept the whole thing for themselves, right? They could have. Now, whether that's right or wrong, they could have done it. But instead, they sold this, and they said, we give it all to the Lord. And that wasn't true. And they died because of it. Brethren, I want to tell you something this morning. I think that we can see from the Scripture, if we are not giving in a godly way, it will lead to our spiritual death. Because our giving is a litmus paper. Did I say that right? That's a hard word for me. You know, it's an acid test of our spirituality. Is that true, church? God wants us to be a cheerful giver. Now, when's the last time that the collection... Oh, see, there I made the mistake myself. I'm trying to get in and call this offering plate. When's the last time the offering plate come around and you put in the money and said, "Glory, hallelujah! I'm excited!" Now I want to ask you a question. Why not? And I am dead serious. Why not, church? Why don't we get excited when we have an opportunity to give, whether it's the offering plate or whether it's in some other area of life, in some area of service. Now, some of us do, I know, so I'm not barking at all of us. I'm not barking anyway. I just want us to know the facts. We need to be getting excited about an opportunity to give. For we are made in His likeness, and He is a what kind of God? He is a giving God. And when we are like Him, we too are giving people. God wants us to give. And He wants to do so cheerfully. Here in just a little bit, we're going to pass the collection plate. And if you just shout out, "That's your business," there ain't nobody here going to begrudge you. At least shout out in your heart, okay? Be joyful for what the Lord has given you a chance to give. Let me conclude in this way. Maybe the question is not, how much should we give? You know, that was the initial thing that I heard. How much should we give? Should we give tithes or offerings? I'm not going to answer that for you, by the way. I can tell you this. Tithes, 10%, was expected under the old covenant system. And the sacrifices were in addition to the tithes. A principle of truth set up under the Old Testament. The New Testament doesn't say anything about tithing. Why not? Because people under the Old Covenant system live by the regulation of the law, and under the New Testament system, God says you give from the heart that which you have purposed. Should it be any less? That's an argument for you to make between yourself and your God. I'm not going to stand here and tell you you need to give 10%, but I am here to tell you that you need to consider your gift, and you need to consider your God in that decision. It's really important for us. The promises of God for a giving Christian are outstanding. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "So that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now, we don't give in order to collect a reward, but the truth of the matter is, when you're giving, God will reward you. Luke 6 and verse 38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour in your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." Boy, let me tell you what, if God's going to give to you, He's telling you, you try to outgive me. That's what I get out of that passage. You just try to outgive me. You're not going to do it, because God's going to bless your life completely. In the end of what we just read in Malachi chapter 3 says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this. Say the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." I titled my lesson this morning, "The Blessed Giver." Because you know what? We are truly blessed when we give. We give from the heart because we're recognizing that it's an act of worship. It is a sacrifice made unto God from us. That's why we give. Brother Engel is going to come up and direct us in the offering this morning, and after he gets done, we'll have an invitation.